Well, I got to ask you, I talked to Gil Hanse once as he was sort of ramping up to do the Olympic course, you know, down in Rio. And he, I asked him, I said, what, if you could just compare it to a course in America that a lot of golfers would know, I said, what do you think this course is going to look like down there for the Olympic Games? And he said, the best comparison I could make is, and of course that people would know, is the Olympic course will have its, it'll resemble Pinehurst 2 in places. Is that part of how you ended up being a part of that project, because you had worked on Pinehurst 2 with Ben and Bill when they did the restoration here?
I don't know. That'd be a good question for old Gilbert S. Hanse. I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot of it was very good timing. I was working for Gil at the time, and yes, I just finished the work on number 2. I just got done working at Cabot Links, so I've been working on really good projects. You know, that's not surprising to hear him drop that particular golf course's name, because we threw around a lot of really great classic courses names when we were working on that project. But it all resonated back to what was, you know, it's Gil's strength and of art as an architect, I think, and what makes that particular project a really, really outstanding course is Gil wants to build something that's really fun and enjoyable for every skill set of players. So, you know, he talked about a lot, you know, Royal Melbourne, you know, the Melbourne bunker style and the cool recovery shots you get there in the tight mow around the greens like Pinehurst number 2. And then also, you know, Augusta National, you know, we get right down to it. There's a reason why everybody tunes in and watches that every year, year in and year out. So where even the most ordinary casual retail golf personality, they, you know, they know every hole by heart after all these years. And so, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff, just like, you know, like just call, say, eight green at Augusta National, the one with no bunkers around it, just big mounds and tight mow and all the fun recovery shots and whatnot. Fits right into that, right into the personality of these courses, all the fall offs and the cool little shots where the players can putt, chip, hit bump and runs, just be creative, bouncing around up and down these cool little slopes that the Ross put in around the greens, just as McKenzie did at Augusta National. You know, that, I mean, St. Andrews was really the model for Augusta National, and nothing embodies fun in architecture like the old course. So pretty easy to see why Gil would have said that. And then we threw a lot of cool stuff into it from there. You know, I mean, Gil built a lot of really, really cool greens all throughout the project, and he was nice enough to let me build a couple of them. And I'm really proud of that project, actually. I think the Rio Olympic course is a really, really good golf course. You know, as I've said to him many times, you know, I've always kind of resented the fact that the project had like had so much light on it that you know, Olympics are kind of funny. They seem like, especially it's times two, it's Rio and it's the Olympics, two places where everybody always seems to have like a saga, you know, and they needed a saga. And so like the games, like delays and all the other environmental things that kind of, you know, were just pulled into the games. I always felt like there was always like this negativity around the games that just really didn't need to be there. The whole thing came off really quite well, and our golf course project happened to be really awesome. And yet we were hearing like these stories a couple months after that, like, oh, the Olympic course is going to shut down. It's going to be like the rest of these venues that are going feral. It's one of the success stories of the games down there. You know, it was the first public golf course that is in Brazil, and the golf course is still in fabulous condition. Every time I look on Facebook to check out the superintendent's photos, because we worked with him on the project, he was doing the irrigation, and it still looks incredibly beautiful out there. The assistant was a lady that had actually worked at Minicata Club, where I work at as the consulting architect. I'm like, she was wanting to go down there, and so I was like, you guys should interview her, and it all worked out. They've done a fabulous job. The golf course is still doing really well. And, you know, I went back in 2018 or so. I was just there on a Sunday. We were over at Gavia Golf Club, which is about a mile or a few miles away. And went over there, and they had like this big junior event going on, and there was all these people there, and it was just a really cool success story for public golf in South America. So I've always kind of resented that there was like all this saga going on. You know, whether it was during the project, it was like, oh, there's this big environmental hearing going on downtown. It was funny at times. I mean, like sometimes the fast way to find out what was going on in this this flipping project was to get on MS or NBC Sports and find out whatever, like, had just been about this environmental area. It was really kind of funny. And, you know, because I've been on projects where, you know, maybe it took more time to get done or what have you, all kinds of things. Like, this is what we were talking about with Barn Boogle. You know, I think that thing was, it was like a 6-month project or a 5-month project when we were going to start it. And, you know, it blows like all heck down there. So it ended up, I was there like 9 months or so, you know, project. You need to do what needs to get done to get them done. So when all those stories came out of the end, like, oh, this thing's just going to close and whatnot, it was pretty disappointing, especially considering, you know, the fact that it really actually has been successful. So if anybody wants to do a story on that, you're the guy. I think you should do it. Fly on down there. The golf course is really cool and it is a lot of fun to play. Again, I think that's a kudos to Gil for he was the right guy for that job. It's just such a Gil's just a gentle soul. He's an awesome guy and a very nice guy. And so he had the political stamina to deal with all the crazy stuff that we dealt with down there. We're like the client, the people that owned the land, they were pretty wild people at times, and it was a lot to manage all the things. And him being the gentle soul that he is, he was just the perfect guy for it. So really, really proud of that project. It was a lot of fun to go down and take in the games. It's cool stuff.
Well, I will say this: the next time you and Gil get on the jet to go down there and take a look at it a few years later, save me a seat on the plane. I'll be happy to go with you and talk about it. You know, whatever, 5-8 years later. Hang on one second here.
Sounds good. Yeah,
to the left side, so they couldn't just blow it over there. And I remember we wanted Larry Packard to hit the commemorative shot, and I want to say he was in his late 90s. To hit his commemorative shot. And of course, he was wearing his plaid jacket, which he had been given as the first president of the Golf Course Architects Society of America. He was wearing his blazer. He got up on the first tee at Copperhead, and we all kind of held our breath, and he striped one right down the middle of the fairway, about 220. And he turned and said, "Do you want me to do it again?" And we all said, "No, that's good. That's so good. That's just perfect."
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been Volume 7 of Zeman Spears. We appreciate our special guest, our first special guest as part of our podcast series, Doug Schmidt, longtime sales representative here at Innisbrook Resort. And we want everybody who enjoyed this, hopefully you'll stick around to listen to Zeman Spears Part 2 at Innisbrook coming up within a day or so with General Manager Mike Williams. Again, from Len and Rory and Doug, thanks for listening.
Excellent.
Tell us a little bit about Pine Needles. Obviously, it'll get a lot more focus next year with the U.S. Women's Open there. For someone like myself who hadn't played the course in 7 years, I went back out there and it was like, wow, it seemed a little different. It seemed to have a little more bite in the golf course. You couldn't just really bang driver all over the place and figure, oh, the worst that can happen is my ball ends up on a little pine straw somewhere or next to a little fescue bush. Tell us about the changes. What are the players going to see in next year's U.S. Women's Open that the players didn't see during the previous three U.S. Women's Opens that were played here some years back?
Yeah, great question. So I think the biggest change, assuming that we're going to do a similar maintenance approach that we did for the Senior Women's Open, is that they'll get to play a really authentic Ross course in terms of its presentation. You know, one is Ross's course who had almost no rough on them at all, just like you see at Pinehurst number two. And he would build really big, wide, fun architecture. You know, width in architecture is really one of the hallmarks of all great architecture. And that's something that is, has been family treed all the way down the line from Alistair McKenzie in the old course, through Augusta National to the stuff that Bill and Ben, Tom, that we've all been working on these last 20 years. And so very little to no rough out there. And the fairways are, again, pretty big and wide. So, you know, average player, it's really comfortable to play. Whereas a good player, they can really strategize and have some fun out there. And Pine Needles doesn't have anywhere near as much, like, sandy hardpan around the holes as Pinehurst number two. And that's intentionally. You know, we really wanted to make all of our projects here just a little bit different from each other. You know, Pinehurst is a relatively flat, gentle piece of property, and it has huge, wide clearing lines. It's hard to get to the trees for the big hitting players. Whereas Needles is a little bit more intimate, and it has, again, just less of that sandy stuff around the edges. The grass just goes all the way out to the edge, but it's necks down in the right places. You know, that's really the stuff that we worked on in our projects from 2016 through 19, leading up to the Senior Women's Open, and we've continued to edit on it the last several months for the women's event or the Women's Open event. So, you know, I think on most USGA courses, usually they're going to have those kind of classic elements of a USGA event where it's 25, 30-yard wide fairway. So the players are kind of, you know, focused on hitting you in a very, very tight course that's out there. Whereas here, the options will be a little bit different. When you have 30-yard wide fairways, nobody's really aiming for sides of fairways at that point. You know, they can either hit the driver or they can lay back further. Whereas with Ross's work here, it's really cool that the players have, instead of just two options, they have four options. They can hit it all the way down there into the tight necks of the fairways where we have tightened things down. They can lay back with a three-wood, or depending on the hole location in front of them, they can play to the right portion of the fairway or the left portion of the fairway short of these hazards and really think about exactly what they're doing. So, you know, four total different options, just depending on if, you know, a front right hole location over a front right bunker, they can play short and left and give themselves maybe a longer shot in, but with a perfect angle, or they can try to hit it way up there and leave them just a shorter shot. So, you know, it'll be a little bit more like the USGA events where they have, you know, taken a shot at some wider architecture. But what really makes this course work, I think, better than 99.9 that anybody would want to try wide architecture for a USGA event, is it has the chops around the greens to really make it a demanding test for the players in that format. You know, as long as you go back to the tried and true elements of what really make Ross's courses work here, scale on the greens, it all comes together perfectly where the players are truly challenged no matter what happens. You know, these greens are not incredibly small, but because of the severity of the fall offs and whatnot and how the fairway around them and the hollows rolls everything off around the edges and the difficulty of the, you know, recovery shots once you get off the edges and the choices the players have to make, again, the putting and chipping, bump and runs or flop shots, just whatever their comfort is, the fact that Ross built, you know, perfectly scaled stuff with severe shots around the edges, it really makes the players think about what they're doing and makes them ensure that they are not missing the wrong places, even there if they're just in fairway around the green. So I think that for this particular event, those will kind of be new challenges, even for ladies that would have played in this, you know, the last time they had the event here, because they would have had more, they would have maintained rough out there. So the fairways would have been a little bit tighter, and they would have had a lot of rough out there. But today, they're going to be able to golf their ball around and have some fun and play. And, you know, the Senior Women's Open, it worked out just about perfectly in that category. Again, Chicago Golf Club, one of my favorite golf courses. But those ladies, they can play, man. I mean, they can really still play, just like the guys on the Senior Tour can play really well. And, you know, Laura Davis won at 16 under par at Chicago. Helen Alverson, she just barely got her out, and I think it was even par here to win. So that made me respect Ross's work just that much more. Again, if you have, you know, 45-yard, 50-yard wide fairways in places, if the players have to hit the right sections of the fairway to have a decent angle in, or if they have to hit these, again, perfectly scaled greens, I think for the average listener, I think that really is one of the great dividers between good architecture and great architecture is solving the paradox in scale. And if the greens are the right size and the fall-offs are severe and nasty and you got wild shots, you really have to visualize when you get off of them. It really puts the players in a unique perspective, and that's where Ross's work is truly timeless here. And so that's why we're really proud of it, and it's been a lot of fun to have restored, you know, those elements, taking out the maintained rough and making it fairway again, and making the rugged, cool, natural bunkers. And the work that we did on the greens really was key in making the golf course just a little bit harder. You know, the events that they had had here before were, you know, 6-7 under sort of things had won it. But we put a lot of, like, cool, what I call the horse and blade touch, you know, the little small details and finish work that Ross would have had in the greens originally kind of back in and had been lost over time. And that really makes the players really, really heavily evaluate every putt and how they're going to do it. A lot more double breakers out there than there would have been before. And then we've expanded the greens off the edges where you get a little bit more of that taste of Pinehurst, where a ball will just barely hit that edge and start to trickle off into trouble around the edges. All of it combined together really made it for, you know, a very tough golf course for that event. So I'll be excited to see how the players filter all the strategies and stuff that we're throwing in out there for this one.
Well, tell us, the resort here has, in the last year or so, acquired yet another Donald Ross property, and you're over there at work. Tell us what's happening at Southern Pines. What do you hope to do there? I understand there's some holes, maybe real old holes, that haven't been used in a while. Can you fix them up? Are they letting you fix them up? And what's happening with the current 18 that's been up and running?
Doing a massive renovation, or restoration, I should say, of the original 18 as it is. You know, the routing is the same as it's always been, all 18 holes, and I think it's an awesome piece of land, really, really beautiful piece of land, several ponds through the middle of the property, and just beautiful vistas, and I've always felt like it's arguably the best piece of land that Ross worked on here, so a tremendous opportunity, and a course that I fell in love with years ago. The first time that I played it was back during the Pinehurst number 2 project, and so it's been kind of a dream of ours to do something with it. Kelly's been chasing it eons longer than I've been around here even. You know, he's had a couple different goes of this and finally got all the moons to align. And so we're really excited. We're doing all the kind of things that we usually do. You know, restoring the rugged bunker style that Ross would have employed, and the widening out of the fairways to where average players really have a lot of fun, and the better players can golf their ball. They can strategize with, again, allows them multiple strategies off the tee to give themselves good angles into pins tucked behind problems that we have around the greens. And then restoring our kind of sandy, hard pan areas, mounds and knots and all those kinds of things. The greens have been kind of tinkered with during the 90s a little bit. So we're removing kind of the 90s feeling sort of elements and just trying to make it feel like a good old fashioned, you know, old world charm Ross course. And then lots of tree removal to really show off these beautiful vistas around the property, so you can see from hole to hole to hole, see all the ponds and all the beautiful terrain out there. So we've been having a lot of fun with it. And then as for the other portions of the property, we haven't really decided exactly what we're going to do with the rest of it yet, but we'd certainly like to do something with it. You know, there's all those other cool little holes out there. So we've certainly found ourselves out there dreaming a little bit, trying to figure out exactly what we can do with it. So, mm-hmm.
Well, tell us, now I'm not necessarily saying the U.S. Women's Open or any U.S. Open, but with the USGA's presence expanding here in the Pinehurst area, there's some expectations there might be more USGA championships in the area. Could that course host a USGA championship at some level, even if it wasn't an open championship?
Yeah. You know, I'm certainly a kind of a take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves kind of personality. Most of my time is spent, you know, trying to get in the head of Donald Ross, what he was trying to accomplish out there. But that said, you know, the land is so good out there, and the design was so good, and I think our work is really going very well. I've been really very happy with the progress of everything so far, despite the fact the weather's been wild and crazy this wintertime down here. The progress has been going real well, and the work is really beautiful. So, you know, I think that the golf course will stand up to anybody's expectations for a really great Ross course when it's done, you know. But I think that you could host pretty much any kind of event you want out there. Coming up, we're going to get the golf course out to very close to 7,000 yards, and if not over, and range of tees to where it's just fun for everybody to play. And but for all the reasons that these golf courses that we just talked about, that these golf courses are so good for the professional caliber player, I think you put pretty much anything you wanted out there, and it would be a really cool and interesting test for the players.
Well, I know you've enjoyed working on these projects here around the Pinehurst area, but I understand you've got some other projects going on. Tell us about what else is on the drawing board right now, where else you're at, and some other courses that you're having fun making changes to.
Yeah, we got all kinds of fun stuff. You know, I almost don't want to start listing them off because I always forget one. And but we have a lot of cool stuff going on. You know, we have for this year, we have the work obviously going on here on both golf courses, and then some more Country Club of Charleston work coming up. They just continue to want to get better and better and better. And fortunately, just looking through their history, there's, you know, great things to work on, scaling of bunkers and really getting to get the true drama back into the arena intended. And then we have a project in the fall time at Minnetonka Club in Minneapolis, which is always one of my favorites. I love Minnetonka. Just a great old Ross course in its own right, right in the heart of the city. And it's kind of like the mid pines of the Midwest. It's just pure romance. The beautiful view out of over the lake from the clubhouse, and the beautiful stately clubhouse, and the property is just a cut above for Minneapolis. Minneapolis sneakily has incredibly good golf terrain. You think about White Bear Yacht Club and Interlochen. It is a really, really cool city for golf, and a lot of like great choppy terrain there. But Minnetonka takes the cake. There's just so much like cool, choppy terrain through the golf course. It has such great history. You know, Bobby Jones won the 27 amateur there, and Chick Evans won the 1916 U.S. Open there. So the two guys that won the Open and the amateur the same year are both roster champions at Minnetonka Club. So we got 45 bunkers to work on there in the fall time, and so we got a lot of stuff fun on the play for this year. We're working on just really cool master plans around the country. Again, I don't want to list them all because, you know, I got so much work in the field today, my mind will be spinning. I'm going to forget one of them. But we got lots of cool stuff on the way. Like, you know, Eastward Ho up on far Cape Cod up there, just an awesome place. That's where I just came from this last weekend, so it's easy to get that one right in my focus. And I mean, you want to talk about an amazing piece of land. I think it's the eighth wonder of the world stuff. I think that, you know, if you were going to do like the short list of like the Pacific Dunes experiences, like what are the best pieces of land that anybody's ever been handed in American golf? Herbert Fowler at Eastward Ho, that one's on that list. So we're looking at trying to do a project next year there, which that could be just like a world beater. You know, I mean, it's already one of my favorite golf courses anywhere, already one of the coolest pieces of land. You know, I mean, that's the kind of project next year that or hopefully happens next year. It's just like, you know, dream come true sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So lots of fun stuff.
Finally, before I let you go, I know that you're doing work here, and some of the resort properties especially are incorporating that new type of course into their rotations. They call it the short course, call it the par three course, call it whatever you wanted. But, you know, people travel half a day to get to a destination property, and they don't have time for 18 holes, but they want to hit the ball around a little bit before they go play a Pinehurst 2 or something the next morning, or Pine Needles here. Tell us about, do you have any, shall we say, short 9-hole, 12-hole, par 3 short courses on the drawing board? Or are you looking to do one? Could you add one here at Mid Pines and Pine Needles?
Yeah, you know, we have a cool little practice area over the loop, which is, you know, a few holes and whatnot. And I've definitely made the pitch before. You know, like, you know, we should try and make this 9 or do something with it. We've had such heavy lifting with the other projects, getting this puppy ready for the Opens, and then Southern Pines on the way, that, you know, we haven't really talked about it too much, but other than just kind of casually. But who knows? I think maybe by the next time you come back, that'll be our next big thing we got going on. I would love to do that sort of thing. And I think about it a lot of the time on the courses that I'm working on. Just case in point, you know, the project we'll go to next after this that I was just mentioning. I mean, Country Club Charleston is just an awesome, awesome place. I mean, it's such a cool vibe being down on the salt marsh and in the city there. You want to talk about a place with just awesome par threes, especially having, worked on 17, the short hole there, just surrounding it with sand, but that's not even the most famous par three there, 11, the famous reverse Redan, which has been, eating everybody's lunch for 100 years. That place has awesome, awesome par threes. It's an awesome course. So a lot of the stuff that we work on, I'm sort of like mining ideas a lot of time. I'm like, it'd be pretty cool to do that hole or pieces of that in this format or that format. So I would love to do a short course someplace. So yeah, like I said, maybe the next time we come back, that'll be our next big thing here.